Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. Now, you expect me to jump all over Obama and say it's his fault that the market dropped 500 and some odd points, that he shouldn't have had a birthday party, he shouldn't have raised the debt limit, he should have cut back on entitlements, he shouldn't be having a barbecue. And guess what? I just said it. Obama is the reason the market plunged 512 points. The man has a barbecue cookout after celebrating with a high five that he screwed the American people again for the Chicago group that put him in power. Not since Jimmy Carter has anyone seen a man as incompetent, as corrupt as this man. Sure, there's panic ripping through global markets because instead of raising the debt limit, instead of increasing entitlements, instead of threatening to tax people, instead of threatening businessmen, he should have done the opposite. I have told you time and time again, he is a lifetime Marxist. I called him a Leninist. I explained in my book how I prove he's a Leninist, and you don't understand it. You just don't understand it. Many of you are sitting there in disbelief as to what I am saying to you. I've listened to the liars all day long. I was in a dental chair today, almost up until the showtime. In fact, I'm still under a great deal of pain. But I felt I had to come on the air today to explain to you that the liars on CNN and MSNBC were beyond comprehension in their capacity to make things up, saying this is only a minor correction. This has nothing to do with the president. Basically, business is at fault. The fact of the matter is this country is bankrupt. The fact of the matter is that we don't have to eliminate entitlements. We have to just make sure that we can pay for entitlements. Where did the word entitlement come from? What do you mean you're entitled to Social Security? Where is it written that you're entitled to unlimited gold-plated medical care? Where is it written that you're entitled to virtually all of the government freebies? Do you see it anywhere in the U.S. Constitution? We're not entitled to these things. It's only if you can afford these things. And so there are ways to make sure that we can afford Social Security and a modicum of health care for people in this country. But you can't let people go in and have unlimited access to medical care, unlimited access to specialists, unlimited access to psychiatrists, letting kids stay at home till they're 26 under Obamacare and collect a full medical treatment program for their drug addiction or their sexual addiction. This is the work of insane people. Pelosi, Obama, Reid, the entire Democrat Party did this to the market today. Now, there are solutions. I know many of you are very upset today, and you probably want to call the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. There is a cookout at the White House as we talk. They're celebrating, screwing the American people and getting away with it. As I wrote the other day, America has been hoodwinked. I told you, you had been hoodwinked. I wrote it on August 2nd. It's only a few days later. I knew what went on. And I told you what needed to be done. And I said today's politicians need to learn lessons from history to understand what Obama is doing. Asserting, Michael Savage says, that the term Leninist better describes the president and his policies than Marxist. But I'm not going to read you my article. You can read it on many different websites. Let me give you some of the solutions. You ready for them? Write them down. Put down your barbecue tongs, Mr. Obama. Mr. Obama, put down your barbecue sauce. Let's not raise taxes for the producers. Let's cut their taxes, and you'll see the stocks go through the roof. Let's let the producers keep their money and invest it in their ideas, Mr. Obama, and you'll see the stock market go through the roof. And you see, the fact of the matter is, college Marxists, college Leninists, most of whom have never actually created a product or a service that anybody ever needed, don't have the faintest idea as to what a business requires in order to feed it, to grow it, and to sustain it. They have no idea. They think they can just get up there and they can manage the United States of America. No, we need a businessman to manage the United States of America. Somebody who has created even a mom-and-pop store would do better than Barack Hussein Obama, a failed college teacher. If you have anything to say on this matter, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Let's talk about Social Security, because this is something you need to hear. When Social Security was first put in place, the average employee retired and collected Social Security for a period of approximately 5 years because they died younger. Did you hear what I just said? The lifespan was shorter. And so the entire Social Security system was created for a person to collect for about 5 years. The average person now collects on the order of 16 years because people are living longer. That's a good thing that they're living longer. Therefore, in order to sustain Social Security, people are going to have to retire later, like at 75. Okay, where is it written in the U.S. Constitution that you can retire like they've been doing in Europe and then go gallivanting around the world at government expense? Those days are over. Europe's bankrupt. We're bankrupt. The whole world is now in a tailspin, and the rules need to be rewritten. You may not like it. People are going to complain about it. But we have to understand that if Social Security was set up when people were expected to live approximately 5 years collecting Social Security, and now they're collecting for about 16 years or something to that effect, within the range of the numbers that I'm saying to you, we can't afford Social Security the way it is. So the retirement age needs to be pushed up. Most older people are working longer anyway. Most older people want to work longer. They want to be productive. They're unlike Democrats. They're looking forward to working as long as they can, as opposed to just laying on their behinds and playing golf. And so I would say raising the Social Security age initially by 3 or 4 years would be a good start, although I think it should be more like 10 years, and retirement should begin at 75, not where it is today. I think medical benefits are insane in this country. There is more graft, greed, and corruption in the medical system than any other system in the country. And therefore, we need a revision in the way medical care is dispensed in this country. You cannot expect people not to abuse a medical system when it's for free. You've got to increase the co-payments to $25 a visit. You've got to close the emergency rooms across America to illegal aliens. You've got to put a state trooper in every emergency room. They've got to demand citizenship papers for you to get care, and that will save billions and billions of dollars a month. There is a way to do this. There's a sane way to do this, and the fact of the matter is Obama is not doing it. He's doing the very opposite. This is the Savage Nation on over 300 stations across the nation. It's a very bad day, certainly not the worst day. It's about as bad since before Obama took office. We lost 5% in the market. It's fallen a greater amount in a single day than it has today. But if two-year Treasury yields drop to a record low, and if a bank is imposing a fee on rapidly growing deposits, something is wrong. Now remember, I am telling you that there's a way to solve this problem. It's not that the sky has fallen. The sky fell the day Obama was put into the White House by George Soros and the other money traders on Wall Street. That's what I think. That's when the sky fell. Now, if you want to talk about any of these issues that I just raised, Social Security, medical care, I'm willing to discuss it with you. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to Benjamin in New York on WOR. Benjamin, go ahead, please.
Savage, how are you? I'm from Long Island City. I actually worked on an assembly line for the last 7-8 years. Just switched my job into real estate. I'm telling you that the dream of manufacturing is dead. You got to move on because the government is against it. I spoke to the gentleman who lost in the Kerry election, a Democrat. He's a governor. He speaks at Hofstra University pretty often. He told me straight up, if you're in manufacturing, get out. And this is a Republican and a Democrat. So if our own government is kind of against it, I don't see how you could say we can bring back manufacturing.
What you're saying, manufacturing is dead in America because the government is anti-business? Is that your implication?
I'm implying that the government finished off the industry, not anybody else. They're the ones that did it. I worked as a dental technician. Today, you couldn't even find a technician, even if you tried. There's nobody to hire. And everything is overseas. I worked in a family business for 40 years. We're almost closing down. I thought I was going to take it over. I'm about 22 years old. And, you know, the reality is I'm going to have to go back to school with the rest of everybody else. And God knows what has to alter me.
But who are you laying the blame at? Whose feet? Democrats, Republicans, who?
It's both. It's all smoke and mirrors. They knew about this all along. And listen, you know, I used to think like you, it's a tragedy, but is it really on the cusp of the agricultural, when the agriculture was dying and the Industrial Revolution just came in, everybody said, how are you going to do that? It doesn't make sense. You know, I was a history major, and I'll tell you what, industry took over. Today, nobody would even dream about opening up a farm. So maybe we do need to move forward. You know what I mean? You look at Apple.
Well, you're saying we should give up on the American worker? The American worker is the most productive worker in the world. I've studied this in great detail. I don't think you're right about that. The American worker is not the problem. It's the American politician who's the problem. They have sold out the American manufacturing base. I would agree with you on that. But don't sell the American worker short, Benjamin.
I think the American worker is phenomenal. That's why we have companies like Apple, we have Google, we have a lot of great American industry that continues to do well. But we have to teach the next generation, like myself, to move forward, and we have to prepare them rather than crying.
Well, what are you going to do, run an internet porn site? Is that the future of America? Every young person should learn how to put up an internet porn site? What do you mean, move forward into what? I disagree with you. I think we need to move backwards. I think we need to slap a 20% tariff on Chinese goods, and then suddenly you'll see manufacturing come back in America. I think we need to do what every other nation on earth does. How in the world can we afford to have manufacturing? Have you ever tried to export something to a foreign nation, Benjamin? I know a lot about that. Every American company is hit with tariffs wherever they go. Tariffs, fees, charges, bureaucratic fees, you name it. We're the only country on earth that doesn't charge them to do business here. How does that make sense?
But again, that's my point. It's a government that sold us out. It has nothing to do with...
Well, that means that we can throw the government out where they belong, put them in prison as far as I'm concerned, and put in people who understand what I'm saying to you. And we'll have manufacturing come back. Start by putting a 20% tariff on Chinese goods. Overnight, you'll see a new demand for American manufacturing. Overnight, you'll see a new demand for workers. Overnight, you'll see hiring in this country. It's not rocket science. We just got to get the criminals out of Washington. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Never let a crisis go unused. That's a very famous statement. I believe that was from one of Obama's minions. I believe it was Rahm Emanuel. Now, you may say to yourself, come on, they didn't manufacture this crisis. No, I wouldn't say they manufactured it. But I would say that they're part of the problem, not part of the solution. The Dow has dropped 512 points. It's a very emotional thing. I mean, the stock market is an emotional market if it's anything else. Nobody can predict what the stock market is going to do. And it's kind of not like a racetrack, but it's quite emotional. The market reacts to various world events. When we go to war, the market drops because people get the jitters. There's uncertainty. When there's good news on a political front, the market generally thrives. The reason we have the nightmare on Wall Street today is because the Marxists who work for Obama, such as Ron Blum, Obama's manufacturing czar, was quoted in 2008 when he said, "We know that the free market is nonsense. We know that the whole point is to game the system." Now, I don't know whether this was short selling. I don't know whether people just took profits because they could have. I don't quite know which stocks took the biggest dive. But I do know that when you see a drop like this of 5%, it's not that the sky has fallen, but it is a direct reaction to Obama's incompetence and his outright corruption. There's no question that the stock market is reacting to the fact that instead of balancing the budget, instead of hearing the middle class, instead of saying, you're right, we're spending too much, the president gave us the middle finger. And along with the other craven members of the Democrat Party and some Republicans, they gave us a giant middle finger and they said, drop dead. We're going to raise the debt limit. We're not going to balance the budget. We're going to spend more. You can't do anything about it. Drop dead. I'm going to a barbecue. Have a nice day. That's exactly what happened. And that's why the market has dropped. I had hoped it would go up. I didn't think it would, but I hoped it would. I'm not a man who invests a great deal in the market. In fact, it's one of the reasons I've been able to hold on to my own wealth is because I don't put money into the market. But I do live in the United States of America, where the stock market is pretty much a center barometer of the economy of this country. Now, Obama has attacked our economy from the day he took office with his rhetoric and with his policies. Let me repeat it if you missed it. Obama has attacked our economy from the day he took office, both with his anti-business rhetoric and with his anti-business policies. What you are seeing is the birds coming home to roost, so to speak. If you care to vent today on the Savage Nation with either the events of the day, if you care to disagree with me when I say to you there should be no such thing as entitlements, and if there are entitlements, that's fine if we can afford them, but we can't. Therefore, we have to adjust the entitlements. Therefore, we have to raise the retirement age to 70 or 75. Therefore, we must cut back on unlimited medical care and charge a large copayment. And most importantly, because this is something we could do immediately, is put a state trooper in every emergency room in America, and you must have a citizenship card in order to become in order to use the emergency room. Period. End of story. We can't afford to support everyone from Mexico and Ecuador, and from China and from Russia. We can't do it. Put a cop, put a guard, put a state trooper in an emergency room. You must show your citizenship to get treatment. Now, of course, if it's a catastrophic accident of that nature, we're a humane nation, you're not going to be denied treatment. Otherwise, we're not treating you for every sniffle with $10,000 worth of medical care. This is common sense, what I'm saying to you. This is not hateful. This is not angry. This is reality. Period. End of story. And you want manufacturing to come back? Make me the manufacturing czar. Day one, 20% tariff on Chinese goods. Day one, 20% tariff on Chinese manufactured goods. 20% on Chinese manufactured goods day one. Within 60 days, you'll see orders coming into American factories that they can't even they could never keep up with. And what they will have to do is hire more people, expand their factory lines, build new factories. There'll be a boom in America like we haven't seen since 1950. And it will happen when we have a sane, rational, people-loving government. It will not happen as long as we have a mob running this country. I don't know how else to put it. It's very ugly rhetoric, I understand. But we're living in very ugly times when you see the equivalent of Al Capone running the United States of America. If Al Capone had taken over this country, he couldn't have done a better job in wrecking the economy than what we have coming out of Washington, D.C. right now. And I'll stand by those words. I will stand by those words.
Savage.
Look forward. We know we've still got a lot of work to do on the economy. Now, I hope we can avoid another self-inflicted wound like we just saw over the last couple of weeks. Because we don't have time to play these partisan games. We've got too much work to do.
That's the barbecue chef in chief celebrating today his screwing of the American people. And I have a very different perspective on what happened. And I blame it strictly on Obama's policies and his rhetoric. He's in the most anti-business president since Jimmy Peanut Carter. Not only in his policies, in his restrictive policies, but in his rhetoric. He's anti-business, attacking people who make a living as though they're the enemy of the people. It's astounding to me. Now, admittedly, I come from a different time than yesterday. I wasn't born yesterday, in other words. I actually come from a time in America when kids made toys because they didn't have the money to buy them. We made our toys sometimes out of wood, nails, and a hammer, and our own sweat. If we wanted something but couldn't afford it, we knew we had to make it ourselves, work to buy it, or learn to do without it. Did you hear what I just said? Learn to do without it. Which is why I have serious problems with Barack Obama's entitlement and redistribution of wealth scheme. I don't care what Karl Marx preached. No man, woman, or child is entitled to benefit from the fruit of another man's labor unless that worker decides to be charitable. Now, why do naked Marxist-Leninist politicians like Obama ostensibly take from the middle class to give to the rich and the poor? Because they understand the power of a well-placed handout to buy off the people and to further their real socialist agenda, which is a cycle of dependency on the government from cradle to grave, and also to diminish the bourgeoisie, the middle class. Make no mistake about it, this Marxist-Leninist president is converting America into a socialist nation. Now, I've said in my writings and on this program, The Savage Nation, that in my analysis, Obama is a revolutionary socialist. I have said he is a naked Marxist-Leninist. I've said these things because I know what I'm talking about. My interest in this topic of Marxism, Leninism, and socialism goes back to my own heritage. You see, I'm the son of an immigrant. My grandfather fled communism, Marxism, and the Red Revolution. My grandfather came to New York right after 1917 to find a new life for himself in a free society. And thanks to him, I was steeped in anti-communist philosophy from the earliest age. I was taught to cherish the freedom of the American experience. I was told how sacred and fragile liberty is and how I should always work to protect it. Taking advantage of this, of his newfound freedom, my grandfather himself opened a little tailor shop of his own and was proud of the suits he designed and made for his customers. He died very, very young of a heart attack because he worked with a passion 7 days a week. Naturally, I wanted to know why this man traveled thousands of miles away from his homeland, from his family and his friends, to start over here in America, which is why Michael Savage, I, have studied Marx, Engels, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot, all of them since I was 18 years old. I didn't read them because I worshipped them or saw them as possessing the answer. I studied these Marxist dictators because I was a college student who didn't want to repeat the mistakes of history. It's not as though I just started reading this stuff yesterday so I could be on radio or television or get a blackboard and lecture to you. I've studied revolutions for over 40 years. I know what's going on with this president, and Americans would too if they had not been indoctrinated and inculcated with socialism in America's public schools. That said, I'm going to open up the board now on the Savage Nation. And what we're going to say on the Savage Nation today is naturally going to disturb the old 60s hippies who still cling to their Leninist illusions. The same goes for the unenlightened leftists who have been in therapy for 20 years, the Woody Allen types hooked on Marx and medical marijuana. This is the Savage Nation. Let's begin in New York on WOR. Frank, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. You're exactly right on so many things, and one of them is manufacturing. I'm a 64-year-old engineer and toolmaker, and I'm in such demand that it isn't funny right now. I can go to almost any state and get a job. But on the point of the politics...
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I understand it. You're a tool-and-die maker, and because you have this skill set, you're in demand, so there are manufacturing plants still left in the country, correct?
Oh, my gosh, yes. But you're also right there on the politicians destroying that very incentive. And I can give you a couple examples, or at least one. I had a very heated, I had a very good company in Pennsylvania, and I had a very heated argument with our senator back in early 2000, 2001. And
right.
He said the reason our work's going overseas is because we make too much money. Now, I had a payroll of over $1 million a year, was responsible for 14 families, and I worked about 80 hours a week, making about $70,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you consider that too much money, and I guarantee it, Michael, you've held parts in your hand, plastic and or metal parts that I've built tooling for. Probably every woman in the United States definitely has, because
all
I
right,
did.
Now, how many hours a week does the average federal worker work? Do you think he works the same 70-hour week that you work?
Doubtful.
No. If they work 40 hours a week, and it would be an awful lot more than I would expect. But they make a lot more than you made, by the way, in working their 40-hour week. They have the best pension benefits, the best medical benefits, far better than that of the private sector. So what we have now is an upside-down, topsy-turvy system where federal, state, and local workers, in other words, public servants, if you want to call them that, are living very high on the hog, and they're taking it from the productive class, the taxpayer. That's another problem, but that's a separate issue from the crash today in the stock market. I want to stay focused on today's mini crash. A 5% drop is not something to simply throw away. Steve, in New York on WOR, you say it's not Obama's fault. Whose fault is it?
Well, I think Obama had nothing to do with it. He's been an incompetent Marxist for the past 3 years, so why would the market react to that information now? I mean,
Hold on. Are you asking a question, or you want to run over your own next statement? You ask, why would the market respond now? Don't you know what just happened? What just happened 48 hours ago?
Well, there was that budget was kicking the can down the road. That wasn't anything. They had a
Whoa! Excuse me, my friend. There was a huge debate and uproar in this country. We didn't know till the last minute whether it would pass or not. You mean you knew something that we didn't know?
No, what happened, the market reacted to a bunch of bad news that happened today. The jobs report was bad. The leading indicators are pointing towards recession.
So it has nothing to do with Obama's running up the debt, running up the entitlements. Nothing to do with Obama.
It has very little to do with it. I will say one thing about that. I don't like government spending any more than the next guy, but if you do balance that budget, you're going to pull about $1 trillion of spending out of the economy, and you got to make that up somewhere, or else.
It seems to me that you seem to be repeating a script that I heard from the Democrats themselves, and I don't buy any of it. It makes no sense. You began your call on this show today by saying it had nothing to do with Obama because, for some reason, you went right over the biggest budget battle that I've seen in my lifetime. And the American people lost, and Obama and the people who put him in power won. They managed to increase the national debt. That is why the market tanked, Steve. It has nothing to do with a bad jobs report, or let us say very little to do with a bad jobs report. It has everything to do with the incompetence and the anti-business rhetoric coming out of Obama and the gross incompetence coming out of Washington, by the way, mainly out of the executive office. It also has to do with the corruption that the people are seeing. Did you read the story about the dailies and the amount of money they took out before he went to work for Obama? It's all over the media. You probably haven't seen any of it. Check it out. Take a look at the grotesque contract that one of the dailies got just before he left for Washington. Chicago is ground zero for this kind of behavior. New York, Josh, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Stunned by the financial situation Obama's put this country. Today, I don't know about that last caller, but definitely today we saw that from what happened yesterday and passing that bill. You know, I just think that we need to, it's time to balance the books. Mr. Savage, I don't understand why, Washington doesn't get that. And how we're just,
Let me ask you something. Do you agree or disagree with my analysis that the market basically crashed today in response to Obama's getting through a new grotesque budget increase? Isn't that what it came down to? More spending and no cutting. Isn't that what it's responding to? The fiscal irresponsibility of Obama?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Right. Instead of being a fiscal conservative, he's a fiscal Marxist. The man is a reckless president. And he goes and parties the day after he shafts the American middle class. Of course the market's going to tank.
Well,
let me ask you something. Let me turn it around for the brainwashed liberals listening to the show right now across America. Let us say we woke up today and the market was up 700 points 48 hours after Obama managed to screw the American people with the budget manipulation. Would they be giving him credit today, saying, look at that, the markets went up because people loved what he did with the budget? Isn't that what we'd be seeing?
Of course. You know they would take credit.
Of course. But they're not going to give him negative responsibility, will they? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Again, forgive me if I'm missing on one or two cylinders today. I just came out of a dental chair. It was 90 minutes of sheer unadulterated hell. And I frankly was not going to be able to work today, but the news was so overwhelming that I felt obligated to get up here and steer the ship, because something's very wrong when we still have men calling this show saying it has nothing to do with Obama's budget manipulation. I disagree totally. But I'm giving you solutions to the problem, and no one's responding to my solutions. Solution, 20% tariff on Chinese goods. Immediately, there's an increased demand for American manufacturing. The manufacturing starts running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They have to hire new workers. They have to train new workers. They have to increase assembly lines. They have to expand their plants. Then we have a pro-business government that lends money at zero interest to manufacturing plants. I could turn this country around in 1 year or less. But you haven't seen a man turn this country around in 2 years, have you? And the reason Obama hasn't turned the country around is because, A, he may not know how to, and, B, he may actually want the country to go in this direction, as I told you why. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle class has gotten smaller. Let me say that again. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle class has gotten smaller. We are moving towards the societies that you saw in the old, let us say, pre-wall days, where there were the rich and the poor. There were the bureaucrats and the rest of the country. depends upon what level you find yourself on the socialist scheme. If it's an outright socialist government, as the Soviet Union was, you didn't have a wealthy manufacturing class, but you had a wealthy bureaucracy, a wealthy class of bureaucrats, and then you had the peons fighting for a salami in a butcher shop. That's what Marxism wrought in the Soviet Union. In Europe, it was not quite as extreme. You had a very small middle class, but you always had a very large class of rich people and a very large class of very poor people. And so that is where we're going because of the socialist policies of the Obama-Carter mentality. Do you blame Obama for this crash today in the stock market? You can vent on the Savage Nation. Where is Waldo? He's barbecuing. Find Waldo. He's had a cookout today at the White House. They're calling it a correction. There's panic in global markets. We haven't seen anything like this since Jimmy Carter. And yet those who did it to us are claiming they had nothing to do with it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When I said change we can believe in, I didn't say change we can believe in tomorrow. Not change we can believe in next week. We knew this was going to take time because we've got this big, messy, tough democracy. And that's a great thing about America is that there are all these contentious ideas that are out there. And we've got to make our case. And we knew that these challenges weren't made overnight and they weren't going to be solved overnight.
Why not? Papa Doc did it overnight. Mao Tse-tung did it through the Long March. You can do it overnight. I mean, you could rule by fiat. You've been doing so anyway. Who are you kidding? NAFTA, GATT, WTO. This didn't start with Obama. I mean, let's be clear. I would trace this back to Bush 1 and Bill Clinton. I've been on radio since 1994. I opposed NAFTA. I opposed GATT. I opposed us joining the World Trade Organization. I knew what was coming. I told the American people what would happen. I knew exactly what was going to happen, and now the chickens have come home to roost. Are you hearing anyone talk about NAFTA, GATT, and WTO, that we on the fiscally conservative side were right for the last 15 years? You haven't heard anyone say they're right. Maybe we should get out of NAFTA. What do you mean North American Free Trade Association? How is it that South American banana republics have healthier economies than we do? How is that possible? If NAFTA was so good for America, how is it that banana republics, ex-banana republics, are now relatively thriving relatively relative to us, and we're sort of a basket case? That's because we got screwed by Bill Clinton and the lobbyists who screwed Americans. Do you remember when the Chinese were shipping our manufacturing plants overseas, buying out entire factories and shipping all the pieces to China? You forgot that? I remember the early 90s. I remember them very well. We were screaming on this radio show, I was, stop them. They're destroying us. We're going to lose our ability to be a world power. No one heard us in talk radio. Doesn't mean we were wrong. I know I was right. Bill Clinton let the Chinese go into states in the manufacturing belt of America and buy entire factories with all the tools and all the dye manufacturing and ship them to China. And they left the towns and the villages that were once America's heartland hollowed out with massive unemployment. And they said, don't worry, we'll retrain all those workers to be what? To run porno websites? What did they retrain him to become? A web manager? What else did they become? You know, once you rip the heart and soul out of a nation, it's very hard to put it back. So, no, I don't blame it entirely on Obama. That would be foolish. But I blame it on the policies of the Democrats and the craven big business Republicans who put the greenback, the almighty dollar, ahead of the country itself. Today is a disaster. It has very little to do with the jobs report. Bank of New York Mellon and other banks announced astonishingly today, are you listening to this? That they're going to charge large depositors to hold cash because of the huge increase in dollar deposits prompted by fears amongst its customers. Banks are now charging you to hold your money. Have you ever heard of anything like this? They're not only not paying you interest, they're charging you to hold your cash. And the reason you're giving them the cash is you don't want to invest it. And the reason you don't want to invest it or buy anything is because Obama's anti-business policies are so apparent that you're afraid to invest and you're afraid to buy. J.P. Morgan cut its third quarter economic growth forecast by 1%. And yet the dollar soared against the basket of currencies. But you look at the markets themselves. Dow Jones down 512 points or 4.31%. S&P 500 sank 60 points or 4.78%. NASDAQ plunged 136 points or 5.08%. The major indexes are in negative territory for the year. In addition, there's something very, very worrisome. The stock market is poised today to do something it has not done in over 33 years, and it did it. It declined for nine straight sessions. The last time the Dow Jones Industrial Average did that was February 22, 1978, when Jimmy Peanut Carter was president. Jimmy Peanut Carter was the last president to see this kind of sustained decline. Did you hear me? And nowhere was the decline more apparent than in the two-year Treasury note. The most heavily traded maturity in the world's largest and most liquid market, its yield was down 6 basis points to a mere 0.257%. You know what that means? That means you would earn about 50 cents and $100 invested on that security over its term. I can go on and on. Why is it happening? It's happening because the barbecue chef in chief just crashed the economy. Oh, the barbecue chef in chief. Barack Hussein Obama had a heck of a barbecue at the White House today. Him and his cronies from Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, they were whistling Dixie. They were having a good time over there. They were really slapping on that sauce on the ribs. They enjoyed it today because they screwed the American people and they got away with it again. They got away with it again. Not only did they not rein in the debt, not only did they agree not to cut back on Social Security and Medicare, but they got away with raising the debt to an extent that will never, ever be able to catch up with the crisis that they put us in. Never. They got away with it because of MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. They got away with it because of the New York Times. They got away with it because of the LA Times. They got away with it because the American people don't want to believe what they actually see is happening. You know the old joke? The woman catches her husband in bed with another woman, and he looks at her and he says, "Who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes?" That's what you're like. All of you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I want you all to join them in singing. I am not going to do the singing. The last singing I did was my bar mitzvah, and trust me, it was a long time ago. So please join the professionals in a great happy birthday song to the great, great president, our own, our Chicago, our president, President Obama.
Y'all ready to sing happy birthday?
Amen.
Y'all ready?
Isn't that great, the class we have in the White House now? I don't want to hear it. Excuse me. I can't even do a parody of it or ridicule it. It makes me sick to listen to them speak anymore. This is a gang that ripped us off. This is a gang that was shoehorned into the White House by manipulating the markets back in 08. This is a gang that is wrecking the economy. This is a gang that has anti-business rhetoric, anti-business policies, and now that the market has fallen with such a catastrophic fall, certainly not the largest in history, let's be clear. I know my history, and I've studied the market. I've written about it. I don't claim to be an expert, but I know more than the average person does. In fact, I'm going to refer to something right now. In Trickle-Up Poverty, get out your book and take a look at what I wrote 2 years ago on page 85. I go back with you now to May 2010, when we had another problem with the Dow. If you remember, on the afternoon of May 6, 2010, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 998.5 points in a matter of minutes, which at the time was the largest intraday drop in the history of the Dow. 998 points. Today it fell about 530, right? But as usual, commentators and analysts missed the mark completely when they tried to unravel what had happened. Some speculated that a trader had mistakenly added too many zeros to the number of shares he was selling and triggered the fall. Others blamed the Greek debt crisis and the underlying weakness in the euro and in the EU's approach to the financial woes, which, of course, is still going on. Still others blamed the rise in electronic trading, as they're doing today, for causing the drop. You're seeing that today. They're saying it was because of computer-driven stock trading that this happened. They're all wrong. Now, while there is certainly some validity in the last two, in fact, the immediate trigger of the sudden sell-off was very likely a raid by short sellers on the stock market back in 2010. However, there are other things you need to know. The circuit breakers were taken out by Bill Clinton. I have been arguing for years that the circuit breakers need to be put back in. The uptick rule. Glass-Steagall needs to be put back. I don't have I don't think that you want to hear all the details of what the uptick rule is or what the Glass-Steagall Act was until Bill Clinton destroyed it. I want you to understand that unless there are constraints put upon the vultures of Wall Street, they're going to continue to do these things to us. The fact of the matter is, I can go into this in greater detail than I have thus far, if you'd like, but I wrote about it in a chapter called Nightmare on Wall Street. I think it's one of the better chapters in Trickle-Up Poverty. And I want to focus now on you. We have a real crisis right now. And we could blame the puppet masters from today until the end of time. We're not going to get anywhere. But there are puppet masters, those who conspired to create the original financial meltdown, and because they all have something in common. These puppet masters, who I claim wrecked the economy in order to give us Obama, are either affiliated with or in the hip pocket of the Managed Funds Association. MFA. You want me to name it for you? You think I'm just making it up as I go along? You think I'm another empty suit like you see in the media? You're mistaken. That's right. The puppet masters are usually affiliated with or in the hip pocket of the MFA, the Managed Fund Association. Who are they? The MFA consists of hundreds of financial firms and private investors who run hedge funds. Hedge funds are not bound by the rules that govern most stock and mutual fund trading. Hedge funds thrive on such practices as short selling, selling a stock that you don't own in the hope that its value will go down further, and then buying it at a lower price, thus making a profit. Now, I'm going to pause right here because I can guarantee you what's happening tomorrow is there's going to be a huge profit taking tomorrow, and the stock market will go up. They also, in hedge funds, trade derivatives, which are financial instruments based on such things as bonds and mortgages that are designed to reduce the risk associated with owning the underlying securities. I believe George Soros and hundreds of other hedge fund traders, most of them MFA members, manipulated the financial systems using primarily changes in two rules that enable them to raid the financial markets, generating huge profits for themselves, causing the financial crash of 08, and enabling Barack Obama to be elected. In other words, it appears they engineered the fraud that ushered in the era of the socialist oligarchy in the United States. If so, they were successful in accomplishing their objectives in the 28 election because they managed to have two of the primary safeguards to investors, the uptick rule and conventional accounting standards, removed in 2007. Did you hear what I just said? Well, there's much more to be said, and I don't think you want a lecture. If you want to read about it, go to Nightmare on Wall Street and Trickle Up Poverty, pages around page 80, 83. America has been hoodwinked. But the market today reacted, in plain English, to a number of factors, to me primarily to the budget debacle that Obama foisted on the American markets the other day. Instead of listening to the American middle class, instead of hearing the American middle class, instead of saying, yes, you're right, we have to get our house in order, instead of that, him and Harry Reid and the entire gang of leftists got together and they said, screw you, we're going to increase the national debt, we're not going to pass a ballot budget amendment, and we're going to make sure that the deadbeats who are collecting Social Security checks that aren't entitled to them, which is not everybody, but you know how many millions of people collect checks they're not entitled to? You have any idea that Social Security does not simply give people who are honest and worked all their lives and put into the system money? You have any idea how many people collect Social Security checks who either have dead husbands or dead spouses or collect crazy checks and they never worked a day in their life? A lot can be done. And what about the cost of medical care? The highest in the world. Why is it the highest in the world? Because we give everybody everything without any questions. You put a state trooper in every emergency room in America, and you say, show us a citizenship card, and we cannot afford to take care of you. Goodbye. If it's a car wreck, something catastrophic, a heart attack, of course the care will be given. You're not going to get a cold treated. You're not going to get a cut treated. You're not going to get, in other words, daily care treatment in an emergency room. We can't afford it. Entitlements are great. That's, first of all, if you believe in the word entitlement. What do you mean entitlement? Is it written in the Constitution that you're entitled to something? Where in the U.S. Constitution does it say you're entitled to these benefits? Where? I can't find it. Cannot find it in the U.S. Constitution. You've just gotten used to it because the welfare state said you should be entitled to it. But you're not entitled to anything, especially if you haven't really worked. Why should I pay for you? When 50% of the people pay no taxes at all, something's got to give, and that's what just happened. The market went down 500 points. Okay, you want to talk about this? You want to talk about any of it? You want to talk about computer-driven stock trading? You can. But you know there's a mess going on in Europe as well. Wall Street also reacted to the financial crisis in Italy. Italy is so big, and it's in such trouble right now, that Italy is deemed too big to bail out. The Germans could not even bail out the Italian economy. So if the contagion that's running through Greece and Portugal hits Italy and the fever gets that bad, then you're going to have a major crash worldwide. Do you know that Italy just appealed to the EU for financial assistance? Do you know that on Wednesday, Italy's Prime Minister Berlusconi told Parliament that while market tension is giving no sign of easing, the country's economy was solid? Well, I don't know whether to believe him or not. Do you believe Berlusconi that the nation of Italy has an economy that's solid? Perhaps it's as solid as his alibi for his partying. Would you like to talk about this? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Chicago, David, you're on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you missed one of the points. One of the main points the stock market fell today is Israel is calling, going on full alert, recalling all its reservists. And big business is afraid or knows that Obama
if that is true, I have not read that. Where can I find that information that Israel called up its reservists because they're afraid of war?
A big drain on the...
Wait, hold on. I don't know if you can hear me, David. Where is that news being reported that Israel called up all of its reserves? I don't see it anywhere. Is that true?
I'm sorry?
Again, I'm asking the same question. You just said something. Where can we find verification that that's true?
Go online and look at it. A friend of mine's in the Israeli military.
Please, my friend, I'm online from morning till night. I don't see it on any websites. Maybe it's a website you invented. What are you talking about? Now you're blaming the Jews for the crash?
No, I'm not blaming the Jews. I am blaming Israel's going on military alert. They're calling them.
Well, hold on. I cannot let you say that on this national program without proof. I don't see it on any.
I was told this morning.
You were told. Oh, so word of mouth now is more important than reality. So you're blaming that fact that you heard a rumor now that that's the reason the whole market crashed.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're wrong. And when did they go on alert? What time of day did they go on alert? Yeah. Well, I don't believe that the sell mentality that started this morning is a result of Israel. Even if what you say is true, and perhaps it is, the fact of the matter is Syria is a problem. Assad is killing his own citizens, and Hillary Clinton's doing nothing. We have a mess all over the world because of this band of incompetent academic leftists running this country. They instituted a revolution in Egypt, and you saw a sick old man being wheeled in on a gurney to be persecuted and tortured by the Islamists in Egypt. And they were cheering it on the American media. He was our greatest friend in the world's largest Muslim country, Mubarak. They're calling it the Arab Spring. Can you believe this? What Obama has ushered in is anything but a spring. It's the darkest days in the history of the Arab Crescent, which is what he and his cronies just ushered in across the Arab Crescent. It's astounding to me what they can get away with. The AP story says Israel may have to call up reserves, not that they have called up reserves. I'll be right back.
Savage.
talking about the huge drop in the stock markets today, 5% of the S&P. And it's very worrisome. It's not the greatest drop, but I believe it's directly related to the fact that the bill that Obama and his minions pushed through was seen by Wall Street for what it is. It's the plundering of the American people. The other day I read an article written by the great representative from Texas, Ron Paul. He made more sense to me than anybody else. And instead of me trying to paraphrase what Congressman Paul had to say, we have him live on the program now. Representative Paul, it's a real honor to have you. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Congressman, you made it very, very plain. You said if we keep spending at current levels, we could just simply save $400 billion in the next few years, not by cutting anything, but just controlling spending. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. You know, if 4 years or 5 years ago, we just had frozen the budget, you know, it would have, you know, be balanced by now. But the big charade in Washington is these trillions and trillions of dollars that they're cutting. We're going to cut five. No, let's cut four. No, let's cut five. There are no cuts at all. They're always just cuts in the proposed increases. So nobody really has considered any cuts whatsoever. There's a few bills going around, one that, you know, I would support, even though it doesn't do enough. It just cut the budget 1% from last year. After 5 or 6 years, the budget would be balanced. But, no, there's no serious intent to cut. And I think you're sort of right about the passing that bill. That didn't calm the markets. And just think of what they were telling us before we passed the bill. We had to raise the debt limit or the markets would crash. So we raised the debt limit and the markets crashed. I think it indicates that they're going to continue the spending as ever. They're not going to default on paying the interest on these debts that we have, but they're going to default by just printing a lot of money. People are going to lose their value of their currency, and that's the way they liquidate debt.
Congressman Ron Paul wrote this. He said, the cuts that they were discussing are illusory, and they're not really cuts. And he said it was akin to a family so-called saving $100,000 in expenses by deciding not to buy a Lamborghini and instead getting a fully loaded Mercedes when really their budget dictates that they need to stick with their perfectly serviceable Honda. Do you believe, though, that the market declined today, the big 5% decline today, is directly related to Wall Street being very nervous about this budget debacle? Or certainly there's institutional trading and things of that nature involved as well, aren't there?
Yeah, I think it's more to it. Sometimes markets are looking for excuses. When there's an excuse and it starts down, maybe the market, I don't believe the market was ever worth that much. You know, the recovery here these last several years was artificial. It was just the Fed making this, you know, desperate effort to reinflate the bubble and created all that money, QE1 and QE2, and creating trillions of dollars and bailing out the rich and the Wall Streets and the banks. Yeah, they had a lot of cash. They were getting cash for free from the Fed, and they were able to buy Treasury bills for that, and it made it look like the market was good. But it wasn't real growth. The jobs weren't coming back. The standard of living was going down, and the deficit was exploding. So I think it's all those things put together. And it, the main problem we have in dealing with this crisis is nobody in Washington wants to admit a cold, hard fact. This country's bankrupt. If you're bankrupt, you have to do something about it. You just can't, you know, go further into debt. Debt is the problem. So they say, well, I guess the first thing we need to do is increase the debt limit, $2.4 trillion, and that's supposed to help. It made no sense whatsoever to me.
Ron Paul is a congressman. He is a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. He makes more sense to me than almost any other candidate. And he did a great article the other day. It was entitled, When a Cut is Not a Cut. And we put it up on michaelsavage.com. And all he said was, if we simply kept spending at current levels, that would save $400 billion in the next few years. But Congress didn't even want to do that. They actually wanted to increase the debt. And there is the chickens came home to roost in plain English. The Obama supporters are saying it had nothing to do with the budget deal. I say that had the market gone up 500 points today, you can bet they'd be all over the media saying, you see that? The market responded to the great Obama. So they have to take it when they created it. We'll be right back with Ron Paul on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about today's stock market downturn, 5%. It's another $800 billion off the value of U.S. equities. That's a huge day. It's stocks plunged in their single worst day since the 08 financial crisis that gave us Barack Obama. The fact of the matter is we have with us a gentleman who knows something about what's really going on, Congressman Ron Paul of Texas. And he wrote a great article the other day called When a Cut is Not a Cut. And Congressman, welcome back to the Savage Nation. A real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Now, you know, your article is strange to me because your title was When a Cut is Not a Cut. Now, you would know what a cut is being an obstetrician by training, correct? No, I Good do point. Trust people who are top-flight professionals who go into politics as opposed to people who have only been in politics. And I would expect that you would know something more about the realities of what's going on than people who've been under the spell of lobbyists their entire life. In plain English, for the millions of people listening to this show, Congressman Paul, if you were president today, what would you do with regard to the budget?
Balance the budget. Demand that they balance the budget and quit and do it by stopping the spending. And if you don't do that, you just make the problem that much worse. But it's a little bit bigger than that because the system is built in on this whole monetary system where the Fed creates money out of thin air. And you have to stop doing that because that's just what causes the debt, the deficits to pile on, and it also causes the malinvestment. It causes the bubble. So you cannot address this unless you understand how the financial bubble occurs and then allow the mistakes to be corrected. And they won't allow that to happen. All the people who were making a lot of money and went into bankruptcy, we bailed them out. So you have to allow bankruptcy to occur. So we did everything wrong in 2008 by bailing out the banks. Then we went and we created a new bubble. And that's why these financial companies now are in so much trouble, because all they were doing was sucking in all this money the Fed was creating, and the Fed was buying up all this debt. And guess what? The average person, the middle class, suffered from that. They're the ones who lost their jobs and lost their houses. So we have to have a new monetary system, and we have to immediately balance the budget. And that is not an easy task, because if the people don't understand it and understand it's in their best interest, it won't happen. But right now, a growing number of people are starting to realize that these deficits don't help them, that the government is inept. The government can't provide welfare from cradle to grave because the system is broke. And I think that's good news, that they're waking up and realizing that we have to have big changes in order to solve this problem.
Right. Entitlement is what? Who entitled anybody to everything? But look, today, B of A down 7.4%, J.P. Morgan Chase down 4.9%, Citigroup down 6.58%, Wells Fargo down 5.7%. These are all financial stocks, and many of these benefited from TARP and some of the other bailout instruments. So why do you suppose they were hit so hard all of a sudden? Is it because they're in trouble again?
Yeah, they probably are, because it was artificial and they were enjoying the bubble once again. They were the beneficiaries of all that money. The average person didn't get that money. Matter of fact, I asked Bernanke one day, I said, these trillions of dollars, you could have given every single person in this country $16,000, but you gave it to the big corporations and it didn't help the economy. It helped the big banks and all, but they're in the same trouble again. So, you know, it was artificial. And that's why you cannot have and allow the Federal Reserve to manipulate and do the central economic planning. That's what they are. They're central economic planners, and you can't do that. Not in a free market. If you believe in free markets and market economy, you can't expect somebody like the Federal Reserve to do central economic planning. They just go from one bubble to another. It was a NASDAQ bubble, then a housing bubble, then a financial bubble. And eventually, what happens is the bond bubble, the dollar bubble, collapses, and that's going to be the big one. Everybody is frightened today, and they went and they bought treasury bills, and they buy dollars. But that is a bubble, too. And when the panic comes and they leave the dollar and go into real assets, that's when the whole world knows that a new monetary system is on the horizon, because this one will not last. And I think we're approaching it. That's how you have days like this that are warning signs that big crash is coming for the dollar.
But do you, Congressman Paul, do you agree with me that there is definitely an emotional reaction in the market today to Obama's ignoring the realities of our financial system by increasing the deficit rather than holding the line? Don't you think this has something to do with what he did the other day?
Well, I don't think you can sort out the emotions from reality. Yeah, they get emotional, and that's what panics are all about. But in reality, it's logical. Emotions are very, very important. But it's not only emotions. They're reacting to some hard, cold facts that what he's been doing and the way he's been spending and the way he wants to punish anybody who's making profits, yes, those are facts. And people are reacting logically to this, and then at times they get a bit emotional about it, but it's justified.
I know you have to go in a few seconds, but I've come up with a couple of ideas. Social Security, don't you think the retirement age needs to be raised?
Yeah, something has to be done because the money that was put in there has been already spent. So if you're going to try to salvage it, you have to do that. But, you know, they're already working very hard to cheat the recipients. indirectly, they should be more honest about it and raise the age and do those kind of things. But they don't get cost of living increases. They're already proposing that they change the CPI calculation once again, and therefore they're going to get less purchasing power, even though they may get the same amount of money. But if there's going to be a long-term correction, yes, you'd have to raise the retirement age and do some other things. But I would like to do so much cutting elsewhere in the budget that I'd like to see young people get the chance to opt out. We talk about opting out of Obamacare. Why shouldn't young people say, look, you know, government's not very good at giving me my insurance, whether it's medical insurance or retirement insurance? The young people I talk to seem to agree. They don't believe for a minute that this government is going to provide them with a retirement benefit when they're 65. They can't even get a job, so they're willing to assume responsibility for themselves and just stay out of it. But if that were to be done, you'd have to cut a lot of spending in other places.
Representative Ron Paul, I know you've got to run, and I really do appreciate you joining us today on this dark day in the markets. Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation, and good luck in your presidential aspirations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very, very interesting. So here we are. We're talking about many, many different things. I lay the blame strictly at the feet of the Democrats, particularly Obama and Harry Reid, and those who pushed this insane debt increase at a time when the people were screaming for a balanced budget. I mean, the people were screaming, balance the budget, cut spending, balance the budget, cut spending, cut benefits. No, he said the opposite. He said, not only will we not cut spending, not only will we not cut benefits, but we're going to increase spending. We're going to raise the debt limit. Then Harry Reid went home to tend to his roses. Barack Hussein went back to the barbecue pit to slaver some thick, greasy sauce on whatever they're cooking over there. And look what happened. The markets are collapsing today. Now, look, tomorrow we can see profit taking. There's no question in my mind that these things come and go. But, you know, you've had 8 straight days of this now. This is pretty amazing. Actually, it's 9 straight sessions. And the last time the Dow Jones Industrial Average went down 9 in a row was February 22nd, 1978, when old Jimmy Peanut Carter was president. Let me take your calls right now on the Savage Nation. Jordan on WOR in New York City. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I fully agree with you. Incidentally, I'm the guy from Queens who sent you the book for your birthday. I think the failure to address the debt situation in earnest was a tipping point for a market that was already trending downwards. I've been in the business about 23 years. I've never seen a NASDAQ composite go down over 100 points. That's the equivalent, most people don't know, of 800 to 900 Dow points. It's a huge, huge drop. It triggered a lot of technical selling and basically the lack of visibility, the inference that a committee is going to come out and sort this all out in 6 months or 7 months. The politicians played another game, as you call it, kicking the can down the road. And the reality is when these economic numbers came out on Friday, for example, the GDP numbers came out and people thought they were anemic. Well, no kidding. What's growing in this country? Just the government. So the basic principles of economics, you would probably agree, correspond to a normal economy. But the chessboard that we're playing the game on is morphing, as you're pointing out, to not a capitalist but more of a socialist platform, and the market is pricing this in. So today, if you read the wrap-ups or you listen to the TV, they're going to tell you they're pricing in a recession. I think it's pricing in what Congressman Paul said, what you're saying, just a lack of total certainty, and it's frightening to the markets. The markets hate uncertainty. So you have very, very
large... Well, of course they hate uncertainty. You have an anti-business presidency. You have an anti-business cabinet. And not only in his speeches against profit makers, and profit-taking, which is absolutely something out of a Marxist dialectic, but also his regulatory bodies are anti-business. Of course people are fleeing from businesses in this country and putting it somewhere else. Who would start a new factory in the United States of America with the insane bureaucracies that they'd have to deal with in states like California, in states like New York State? Why do you think people are fleeing New York and California? Because they've tapped themselves out with regulation and with taxation.
Absolutely. As you've pointed out, this one's going to try to do it through regulation and through taxation, whereas Lenin came at you with a gun and told you what he was going to do.
That's right. Lenin sent the thugs out with guns and took it from you. Obama does it with regulation and hogwash in plain English.
Absolutely.
But look, we can say this all we want, Jordan. I want to leave people with one thought that's very important. I am laying the decline in the market on many factors, the primary one being Obama's not listening to the American people and running up the debt rather than controlling the runaway debt. That's number one. Now, the left would say he had nothing to do with it. I would argue that if the market had gone up 500 points today, they would be saying, look at that. The markets responded to Obama's genius policies, and it went up. Okay? So they have to now take it the other way. Today's stock market mini crash is directly related to the insanity of Obama's fiscal policies. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We are focusing on today's, stock market turndown. I mean, it's 5% is a big one, and the fact of the matter is, the previous time the Dow declined for nine straight sessions was in February of 1978. And prior to that, the previous time the Dow declined for nine straight sessions was in October of 1974. Both of these sessions, by the way, without getting too technical, came only a few months before the end of these bear markets, and then the markets went into raging bull sessions. I hate to call them bull sessions. So the question is, what should you do? I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not licensed to be such, nor do I have any investments that I would recommend. But the fact of the matter is, many of you are thinking, aha, well, things go up and they go down, and now it's gone down so much, surely there's going to be a rise tomorrow on the 10th session. Unfortunately, that may not be so. I want to caution you. Yes, I think that some of the big boys who control the market are going to come back in. The hedge fund operators who drove the stocks down are going to buy them up tomorrow. And make a huge fortune tomorrow and then give more to Obama. However, we don't know when they will do that. And we cannot guarantee that the market will rise in the 10th session after it's gone down in nine sessions. Because I've studied this, in more than a few of the past cases in which the market dropped that many days in a row, that is nine, the market actually continued dropping for at least another day. What is the all-time record for the number of days in a row in which the Dow fell? The Dow appears to drop. In other words, what's the longest down streak? 14 days. And that's a streak that ended on August 13th, 1941, as the rumblings of World War II were reverberating through Wall Street. We have no idea what is reverberating on Wall Street right now, but there's no question in my mind that Obama's giving the middle finger to the American middle class, the working people, the producers, by saying, not only will we not balance the budget, not only will we not rein in the entitlements, but we're going to increase entitlements and we're going to increase spending. I think the markets are responding to that, if not to everything else that's going on in the world right now. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Marianne in Boston. Fire away quickly, please. Marianne, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I feel after today, it's a sad state of affairs for our country, but I also have another thought. I believe our vulnerability is also in the military sense, because we're ripe for the pickings. I really think that...
Well, I have grave fears about our national security. I wrote about what he did to NASA. I don't think how people can understand this. He made us passengers on a Russian space shuttle to the space station. That should have told everybody everything they needed to know about this anti-military president. But I don't know what it's going to take for people to wake up to the fact of who he actually is. I don't think people really care, except what's in their pocket. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's not that unique in history. There was a saying in ancient Rome that the ancient Roman did not care about what the legions were doing 500 or 1,000 miles away from Rome. The average Roman at that time cared about the pebble in his shoe. That's what was written by Cato the Elder, the historian. He said the average Roman does not care about what's going on in the France of that time or in Germania of that time and how well the legions were doing in subduing the local populations. The average Roman cared about the pebble in his shoe. What do they mean by that? They mean the price of corn, the price of wheat, the price of gasoline. In other words, the price of commodities. And as you well know, listening to the show, the price of commodities is going up almost on a daily basis. And that's a true indicator of the value of our dollar. That's a true indicator of what's really going on, is that when you have to pay more for a loaf of bread, and when you have to pay more for a quart of milk, and you have to pay more to fill up your tank, obviously your dollar is buying you less, so the dollar is worth less. And that becomes a frightening proposition for those of us who have studied history and remember those horrendous photographs of post-World War I Germany, the worst case imaginable, of those folks in the Weimar Republic of Germany, where they had to take a wheelbarrow filled with worthless paper currency to buy basic commodities at the local grocery store. Let's pray to God that we're not on that road, but many of us saw it that way, and we begged the president, we cajoled the president, we told the president, don't keep spending, rein in your spending, balance the budget. Instead of doing that, him and Reid said, you know what, go to hell, we're going to raise the budget, we're going to bust the budget. Instead of reining in spending, we're actually going to spend more. We don't care about a balanced budget. And then they got their stooges in the media to say, oh, balanced budget. Come on now. We can't balance our budget. Why, that's crazy. You had all the drug addicts in the media, the leg crossers, saying, we don't need a balanced budget. No, we don't need that at all. There's no reason for a government to balance its budget. And there's absolutely no reason for these crackpot Tea Party activists to be calling for any kind of fiscal restraint. Why, they're all addicted to some kind of stupidity. See, they were copying, they were reversing everything that they were doing. The liberal economic policies of Jimmy Carter and of Barack Obama are actually insane. Remember the primary theorem here. Liberalism is a mental disorder. And I'm telling you that liberalism is a mental disorder that's now playing out in the financial markets as well. The fact of the matter is, you can't keep plundering the American taxpayer without it coming home to roost. The fact of the matter is Obama rammed through a bigger budget than ever. The fact of the matter is that Harry Reid rammed through a bigger budget than ever in spite of stagnant revenues. If your family's income was not changing from one year to the next, would it be wise financially for you to accelerate your spending so you'd feel richer? That's what Obama and Harry Reid just did. That is what your government just did. And the fact of the matter is we begged them to put our fiscal house into order. We asked for fiscal conservatism. Instead, we got fiscal socialism all over again. We asked for a budget control act. They said, go to hell. We asked them to cut spending. They said, go to hell. We asked them to do something about the entitlements. They said, go to hell. Instead, they said, well, our revenues are about $2.2 trillion a year. So instead of staying within our budget, well, let's see if we can spend about $4 trillion a year. We said, wait a minute, that's crazy. The revenues aren't going to go up. They said, oh, yes, the revenues will go up. We're simply going to tax the middle class and we'll call the middle class the rich. Did you hear what I just said? Just follow the bouncing ball and watch out when he says he's going to tax the rich because he means you. When you consider how many people in this country don't pay taxes, when you consider the vast army of 30 million illegal aliens who are sucking us dry, both with medication and education, and nobody will take on the sacred lobbying cows of these lobbies, when you consider the fact that the only people who are ripe to pick are you and I, the working class of America, remember, don't ever forget this. You are the working class. If you pay taxes, you are the working class. Don't tell me the person on welfare is the working class. And don't tell me the illegal alien is the working class. We are the working class.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. Now, you expect me to jump all over Obama and say it's his fault that the market dropped 500 and some odd points, that he shouldn't have had a birthday party, he shouldn't have raised the debt limit, he should have cut back on entitlements, he shouldn't be having a barbecue. And guess what? I just said it. Obama is the reason the market plunged 512 points. The man has a barbecue cookout after celebrating with a high five that he screwed the American people again for the Chicago group that put him in power. Not since Jimmy Carter has anyone seen a man as incompetent, as corrupt as this man. Sure, there's panic ripping through global markets because instead of raising the debt limit, instead of increasing entitlements, instead of threatening to tax people, instead of threatening businessmen, he should have done the opposite. I have told you time and time again, he is a lifetime Marxist. I called him a Leninist. I explained in my book how I prove he's a Leninist, and you don't understand it. You just don't understand it. Many of you are sitting there in disbelief as to what I am saying to you. I've listened to the liars all day long. I was in a dental chair today, almost up until the showtime. In fact, I'm still under a great deal of pain. But I felt I had to come on the air today to explain to you that the liars on CNN and MSNBC were beyond comprehension in their capacity to make things up, saying this is only a minor correction. This has nothing to do with the president. Basically, business is at fault. The fact of the matter is this country is bankrupt. The fact of the matter is that we don't have to eliminate entitlements. We have to just make sure that we can pay for entitlements. Where did the word entitlement come from? What do you mean you're entitled to Social Security? Where is it written that you're entitled to unlimited gold-plated medical care? Where is it written that you're entitled to virtually all of the government freebies? Do you see it anywhere in the U.S. Constitution? We're not entitled to these things. It's only if you can afford these things. And so there are ways to make sure that we can afford Social Security and a modicum of health care for people in this country. But you can't let people go in and have unlimited access to medical care, unlimited access to specialists, unlimited access to psychiatrists, letting kids stay at home till they're 26 under Obamacare and collect a full medical treatment program for their drug addiction or their sexual addiction. This is the work of insane people. Pelosi, Obama, Reid, the entire Democrat Party did this to the market today. Now, there are solutions. I know many of you are very upset today, and you probably want to call the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. There is a cookout at the White House as we talk. They're celebrating, screwing the American people and getting away with it. As I wrote the other day, America has been hoodwinked. I told you, you had been hoodwinked. I wrote it on August 2nd. It's only a few days later. I knew what went on. And I told you what needed to be done. And I said, today's politicians need to learn lessons from history to understand what Obama is doing. Asserting, Michael Savage says, that the term Leninist better describes the president and his policies than Marxist. But I'm not going to read you my article. You can read it on many different websites. Let me give you some of the solutions. You ready for them? Write them down. Put down your barbecue tongs, Mr. Obama. Mr. Obama, put down your barbecue sauce. Let's not raise taxes for the producers. Let's cut their taxes, and you'll see the stocks go through the roof. Let's let the producers keep their money and invest it in their ideas, Mr. Obama, and you'll see the stock market go through the roof. And you see, the fact of the matter is, college Marxists, college Leninists, most of whom have never actually created a product or a service that anybody ever needed, don't have the faintest idea as to what a business requires in order to feed it, to grow it, and to sustain it. They have no idea. They think they can just get up there and they can manage the United States of America. No, we need a businessman to manage the United States of America. Somebody who has created even a mom-and-pop store would do better than Barack Hussein Obama, a failed college teacher. If you have anything to say on this matter, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Let's talk about Social Security, because this is something you need to hear. When Social Security was first put in place, the average employee retired and collected Social Security for a period of approximately 5 years because they died younger. Did you hear what I just said? The lifespan was shorter. And so the entire Social Security system was created for a person to collect for about 5 years. The average person now collects on the order of 16 years because people are living longer. That's a good thing that they're living longer. Therefore, in order to sustain Social Security, people are going to have to retire later, like at 75. Okay, where is it written in the U.S. Constitution that you can retire like they've been doing in Europe and then go gallivanting around the world at government expense? Those days are over. Europe's bankrupt. We're bankrupt. The whole world is now in a tailspin, and the rules need to be rewritten. You may not like it. People are going to complain about it. But we have to understand that if Social Security was set up when people were expected to live approximately 5 years collecting Social Security, and now they're collecting for about 16 years or something to that effect, within the range of the numbers that I'm saying to you, we can't afford Social Security the way it is. So the retirement age needs to be pushed up. Most older people are working longer anyway. Most older people want to work longer. They want to be productive. They're unlike Democrats. They're looking forward to working as long as they can, as opposed to just laying on their behinds and playing golf. And so I would say raising the Social Security age initially by 3 or 4 years would be a good start, although I think it should be more like 10 years, and retirement should begin at 75, not where it is today. I think medical benefits are insane in this country. There is more graft, greed, and corruption in the medical system than any other system in the country. And therefore, we need a revision in the way medical care is dispensed in this country. You cannot expect people not to abuse a medical system when it's for free. You've got to increase the copayments to $25 a visit. You've got to close the emergency rooms across America to illegal aliens. You've got to put a state trooper in every emergency room. They've got to demand citizenship papers for you to get care, and that will save billions and billions of dollars a month. There is a way to do this. There's a sane way to do this. And the fact of the matter is Obama is not doing it. He's doing the very opposite. This is the Savage Nation on over 300 stations across the nation. It's a very bad day, certainly not the worst day. It's about as bad since before Obama took office. We lost 5% in the market. It's fallen a greater amount in a single day than it has today. But if two-year Treasury yields drop to a record low, and if a bank is imposing a fee on rapidly growing deposits, something is wrong. Now, remember, I am telling you that there's a way to solve this problem. It's not that the sky has fallen. The sky fell the day Obama was put into the White House by George Soros and the other money traders on Wall Street. That's what I think. That's when the sky fell. Now, if you want to talk about any of these issues that I just raised, Social Security, medical care, I'm willing to discuss it with you. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to Benjamin in New York on WOR. Benjamin, go ahead, please.
Savage, how are you? I'm from Long Island City. I actually worked on an assembly line for the last 7-8 years. Just switched my job into real estate. I'm telling you that the dream of manufacturing is dead. You got to move on because the government is against it. I spoke to the gentleman who lost in the Kerry election, a Democrat. He's a governor. He speaks at Hofstra University pretty often. He told me straight up, if you're in manufacturing, get out. And this is a Republican and a Democrat. So if our own government is kind of against it, I don't see how you could say we can bring back manufacturing.
What you're saying, manufacturing is dead in America because the government is anti-business? Is that your implication?
I'm implying that the government finished off the industry, not anybody else. They're the ones that did it. I worked as a dental technician. Today, you couldn't even find a technician, even if you tried. There's nobody to hire. And everything is overseas. I worked in a family business for 40 years. We're almost closing down. I thought I was going to take it over. I'm about 22 years old. And, you know, the reality is I'm going to have to go back to school with the rest of everybody else. And God knows what that's told to me.
But who are you laying the blame at? Whose feet? Democrats, Republicans, who?
It's both. It's all smoke and mirrors. They knew about this all along. And listen, you know, I used to think like you, it's a tragedy, but is it really on the cusp of the when agricultural was dying and the Industrial Revolution just came in, everybody said, how are you going to do that? It doesn't make sense. And I was a history major, and I'll tell you what, industry took over today, nobody would even dream about opening up a farm. So maybe we do need to move forward. You know what I mean? You look at Apple.
Wait, you're saying we should give up on the American worker? The American worker is the most productive worker in the world. I've studied this in great detail. I don't think you're right about that. The American worker is not the problem. It's the American politician who's the problem. They have sold out the American manufacturing base. I would agree with you on that. But don't sell the American worker short, Benjamin.
I think the American worker is phenomenal. That's why we have companies like Apple, we have Google, we have a lot of great American industry that continues to do well. But we have to teach the next generation, like myself, to move forward, and we have to prepare them rather than crying. Well,
what are you going
to
do, run an internet porn site? Is that the future of America? Every young person should learn how to put up an internet porn site? What do you mean, move forward into what? I disagree with you. I think we need to move backwards. I think we need to slap a 20% tariff on Chinese goods, and then suddenly you'll see manufacturing come back in America. I think we need to do what every other nation on earth does. How in the world can we afford to have manufacturing? Have you ever tried to export something to a foreign nation, Benjamin? I know a lot about that. Every American company is hit with tariffs wherever they go. Tariffs, fees, charges, bureaucratic fees, you name it. We're the only country on earth that doesn't charge them to do business here. How does that make sense?
But again, that's my point. It's the government that sold us out. It has nothing to do with...
Well, that means that we can throw the government out where they belong, put them in prison as far as I'm concerned, and put in people who understand what I'm saying to you. And we'll have manufacturing come back. Start by putting a 20% tariff on Chinese goods. Overnight, you'll see a new demand for American manufacturing. Overnight, you'll see a new demand for workers. Overnight, you'll see hiring in this country. It's not rocket science. We just got to get the criminals out of Washington. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Never let a crisis go unused. That's a very famous statement. I believe that was from one of Obama's minions. I believe it was Rahm Emanuel. Now, you may say to yourself, come on, they didn't manufacture this crisis. No, I wouldn't say they manufactured it. But I would say that they're part of the problem, not part of the solution. The Dow has dropped 512 points. It's a very emotional thing. I mean, the stock market is an emotional market if it's anything else. Nobody can predict what the stock market is going to do. And it's kind of not like a racetrack, but it's quite emotional. The market reacts to various world events. When we go to war, the market drops because people get the jitters. There's uncertainty. When there's good news on a political front, the market generally thrives. The reason we have the nightmare on Wall Street today is because the Marxists who work for Obama, such as Ron Blum, Obama's manufacturing czar, was quoted in 2008 when he said, "We know that the free market is nonsense. We know that the whole point is to game the system." Now, I don't know whether this was short selling. I don't know whether people just took profits because they could have. I don't quite know which stocks took the biggest dive. But I do know that when you see a drop like this of 5%, it's not that the sky has fallen, but it is a direct reaction to Obama's incompetence and his outright corruption. There's no question that the stock market is reacting to the fact that instead of balancing the budget, instead of hearing the middle class, instead of saying, you're right, we're spending too much, the president gave us the middle finger. And along with the other craven members of the Democrat Party and some Republicans, they gave us a giant middle finger and they said, drop dead. We're going to raise the debt limit. We're not going to balance the budget. We're going to spend more. You can't do anything about it. Drop dead. I'm going to a barbecue. Have a nice day. That's exactly what happened. And that's why the market has dropped. I had hoped it would go up. I didn't think it would, but I hoped it would. I'm not a man who invests a great deal in the market. In fact, it's one of the reasons I've been able to hold on to my own wealth is because I don't put money into the market. But I do live in the United States of America, where the stock market is pretty much a center barometer of the economy of this country. Now, Obama has attacked our economy from the day he took office with his rhetoric and with his policies. Let me repeat it if you missed it. Obama has attacked our economy from the day he took office, both with his anti-business rhetoric and with his anti-business policies. What you are seeing is the birds coming home to roost, so to speak. If you care to vent today on the Savage Nation with either the events of the day if you care to disagree with me, when I say to you, there should be no such thing as entitlements. And if there are entitlements, that's fine if we can afford them, but we can't. Therefore, we have to adjust the entitlements. Therefore, we have to raise the retirement age to 70 or 75. Therefore, we must cut back on unlimited medical care and charge a large copayment. And most importantly, because this is something we could do immediately, is put a state trooper in every emergency room in America. And you must have a citizenship card in order to become, in order to use the emergency room. Period. End of story. We can't afford to support everyone from Mexico and Ecuador, and from China and from Russia. We can't do it. Put a cop, put a guard, put a state trooper in an emergency room. You must show your citizenship to get treatment. Now, of course, if it's a catastrophic accident of that nature, we're a humane nation. You're not going to be denied treatment. Otherwise, we're not treating you for every sniffle with $10,000 worth of medical care. This is common sense, what I'm saying to you. This is not hateful. This is not angry. This is reality. Period. End of story. And you want manufacturing to come back? Make me the manufacturing czar. Day one, 20% tariff on Chinese goods. Day one, 20% tariff on Chinese manufactured goods. 20% on Chinese manufactured goods day one. Within 60 days, you'll see orders coming into American factories that they can't even they could never keep up with. And what they will have to do is hire more people, expand their factory lines, build new factories. There'll be a boom in America like we haven't seen since 1950. And it will happen when we have a sane, rational, people-loving government. It will not happen as long as we have a mob running this country. I don't know how else to put it. It's very ugly rhetoric, I understand. But we're living in very ugly times when you see the equivalent of Al Capone running the United States of America. If Al Capone had taken over this country, he couldn't have done a better job in wrecking the economy than what we have coming out of Washington, D.C. right now. And I'll stand by those words. I will stand by those words.
Savage.
We look forward. We know we've still got a lot of work to do on the economy. Now, I hope we can avoid another self-inflicted wound like we just saw over the last couple of weeks. Because we don't have time to play these partisan games. We've got too much work to do.
That's the barbecue chef in chief celebrating today his screwing of the American people. And I have a very different perspective on what happened. And I blame it strictly on Obama's policies and his rhetoric. He's in the most anti-business president since Jimmy Peanut Carter, not only in his policies, in his restrictive policies, but in his rhetoric. He's anti-business, attacking people who make a living as though they're the enemy of the people. It's astounding to me. Now, admittedly, I come from a different time than yesterday. I wasn't born yesterday, in other words. I actually come from a time in America when kids made toys because they didn't have the money to buy them. We made our toys sometimes out of wood, nails, and a hammer, and our own sweat. If we wanted something but couldn't afford it, we knew we had to make it ourselves, work to buy it, or learn to do without it. Did you hear what I just said? Learn to do without it. Which is why I have serious problems with Barack Obama's entitlement and redistribution of wealth scheme. I don't care what Karl Marx preached. No man, woman, or child is entitled to benefit from the fruit of another man's labor unless that worker decides to be charitable. Now, why do naked Marxist-Leninist politicians like Obama ostensibly take from the middle class to give to the rich and the poor? Because they understand the power of a well-placed handout to buy off the people and to further their real socialist agenda, which is a cycle of dependency on the government from cradle to grave and also to diminish the bourgeoisie, the middle class. Make no mistake about it. This Marxist-Leninist president is converting America into a socialist nation. Now, I've said in my writings and on this program, The Savage Nation, that in my analysis, Obama is a revolutionary socialist. I have said he is a naked Marxist-Leninist. I've said these things because I know what I'm talking about. My interest in this topic of Marxism, Leninism, and socialism goes back to my own heritage. You see, I'm the son of an immigrant. My grandfather fled communism, Marxism, and the Red Revolution. My grandfather came to New York right after 1917 to find a new life for himself in a free society. And thanks to him, I was steeped in anti-communist philosophy from the earliest age. I was taught to cherish the freedom of the American experience. I was told how sacred and fragile liberty is, and how I should always work to protect it. Taking advantage of this, of his newfound freedom, my grandfather himself opened a little tailor shop of his own and was proud of the suits he designed and made for his customers. He died very, very young of a heart attack because he worked with a passion 7 days a week. Naturally, I wanted to know why this man traveled thousands of miles away from his homeland, from his family and his friends, to start over here in America, which is why Michael Savage, I, have studied Marx, Engels, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot, all of them since I was 18 years old. I didn't read them because I worshipped them or saw them as possessing the answer. I studied these Marxist dictators because I was a college student who didn't want to repeat the mistakes of history. It's not as though I just started reading this stuff yesterday so I could be on radio or television or get a blackboard and lecture to you. I've studied revolutions for over 40 years. I know what's going on with this president, and Americans would too if they had not been indoctrinated and inculcated with socialism in America's public schools. That said, I'm going to open up the board now on the Savage Nation. And what we're going to say on the Savage Nation today is naturally going to disturb the old 60s hippies who still cling to their Leninist illusions. The same goes for the unenlightened leftists who have been in therapy for 20 years, the Woody Allen types hooked on Marx and medical marijuana. This is the Savage Nation. Let's begin in New York on WOR. Frank, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. You're exactly right on so many things, and one of them is manufacturing. I'm a 64-year-old engineer and toolmaker, and I'm in such demand that it isn't funny right now. I can go to almost any state and get a job. But on the point of the politics...
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I understand it. You're a tool-and-die maker, and because you have this skill set, you're in demand. So there are manufacturing plants still left in the country, correct?
Oh, my gosh, yes. But you're also right there on the politicians destroying that very incentive. And I can give you a couple examples, or at least one. I had a very heated, I had a very good company in Pennsylvania, and I had a very heated argument with our senator back in early 2001. And he said the reason our work's going overseas is because we make too much money. Now, I had a payroll of over $1 million a year, was responsible for 14 families, and I worked about 80 hours a week, making about $70,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And if you consider that too much money, and I guarantee it, Michael, you've held parts in your hand, plastic and or metal parts that I've built tooling for. Probably every woman in the United States definitely has, because I did.
Now, how many hours a week does the average federal worker work? Do you think he works the same 70-hour week that you work?
Doubtful.
No. If they work 40 hours a week, and it would be an awful lot more than I would expect. But they make a lot more than you made, by the way, in working their 40-hour week. They have the best pension benefits, the best medical benefits, far better than that of the private sector. So what we have now is an upside-down, topsy-turvy system where federal, state, and local workers, in other words, public servants, if you want to call them that, are living very high on the hog, and they're taking it from the productive class, the taxpayer. That's another problem, but that's a separate issue from the crash today in the stock market. I want to stay focused on today's mini crash. A 5% drop is not something to simply throw away. Steve, in New York on WOR, you say it's not Obama's fault. Whose fault is it?
Well, I think Obama had nothing to do with it. He's been an incompetent Marxist for the past 3 years, so why would the market react to that information now? I mean,
Hold on. Are you asking a question, or you want to run over your own next statement? You ask, why would the market respond now? Don't you know what just happened? What just happened 48 hours ago?
Well, there was that budget was kicking the can down the road. That wasn't anything. They had a
whoa. Excuse me, my friend. There was a huge debate and uproar in this country. We didn't know till the last minute whether it would pass or not. You mean you knew something that we didn't know?
No. What happened? The market reacted to a bunch of bad news that happened today. The jobs report was bad. The leading indicators are pointing towards recession.
So it has nothing to do with Obama's running up the debt, running up the entitlements. Nothing to do with Obama.
It has very little to do with it. I will say one thing about that. I don't like government spending any more than the next guy. But if you do if you do balance that budget, you're going to pull about $1 trillion of spending out of the economy, and you got to make that up somewhere, or else.
So it seems to me that you seem to be repeating a script that I heard from the Democrats themselves, and I don't buy any of it. It makes no sense. You began your call on this show today by saying it had nothing to do with Obama because, for some reason, you went right over the biggest budget battle that I've seen in my lifetime. And the American people lost, and Obama and the people who put him in power won. They managed to increase the national debt. That is why the market tanked, Steve. It has nothing to do with a bad jobs report, or let us say very little to do with a bad jobs report. It has everything to do with the incompetence and the anti-business rhetoric coming out of Obama and the gross incompetence coming out of Washington, by the way, mainly out of the executive office. It also has to do with the corruption that the people are seeing. Did you read the story about the dailies and the amount of money they took out before he went to work for Obama? It's all over the media. You probably haven't seen any of it. Check it out. Take a look at the grotesque contract that one of the dailies got just before he left for Washington. Chicago is ground zero for this kind of behavior. New York, Josh, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Stunned by the financial situation Obama's put this country. Today, I don't know about that last caller, but definitely today was we saw that from what happened yesterday and passing that bill. You know, I just think that we need to, it's time to balance the books. Mr. Savage, I don't understand why, Washington doesn't get that. And now how we're just,
Let me ask you something. Do you agree or disagree with my analysis that the market basically crashed today in response to Obama's getting through a new grotesque budget increase? Isn't that what it came down to? More spending and no cutting. Isn't that what it's responding to? The fiscal irresponsibility of Obama?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Right. Instead of being a fiscal conservative, he's a fiscal Marxist. The man is a reckless president. And he goes and parties the day after he shafts the American middle class. Of course the market's going to tank. Let me ask you something. Let me turn it around for the brainwashed liberals listening to the show right now across America. Let us say we woke up today and the market was up 700 points, 48 hours after Obama managed to screw the American people with the budget manipulation. Would they be giving him credit today, saying, look at that, the markets went up because people loved what he did with the budget? Isn't that what we'd be seeing?
Of course. You know they would take credit.
Of course. But they're not going to give him negative responsibility, will they? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Again, forgive me if I'm missing on one or two cylinders today. I just came out of a dental chair. It was 90 minutes of sheer unadulterated hell. And I frankly was not going to be able to work today, but the news was so overwhelming that I felt obligated to get up here and steer the ship, because something's very wrong when we still have men calling this show saying it has nothing to do with Obama's budget manipulation. I disagree totally. But I'm giving you solutions to the problem, and no one's responding to my solutions. Solution, 20% tariff on Chinese goods. Immediately, there's an increased demand for American manufacturing. The manufacturing starts running 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They have to hire new workers. They have to train new workers. They have to increase assembly lines. They have to expand their plants. Then we have a pro-business government that lends money at zero interest to manufacturing plants. I could turn this country around in 1 year or less. But you haven't seen a man turn this country around in 2 years, have you? And the reason Obama hasn't turned the country around is because, A, he may not know how to, and, B, he may actually want the country to go in this direction, as I told you why. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle class has gotten smaller. Let me say that again. The rich have gotten richer, the poor have gotten poorer, and the middle class has gotten smaller. We are moving towards the societies that you saw in the old, let us say, pre-wall days, where there were the rich and the poor. There were the bureaucrats and the rest of the country. Depends upon what level you find yourself on the socialist scheme. If it's an outright socialist government, as the Soviet Union was, you didn't have a wealthy manufacturing class, but you had a wealthy bureaucracy, a wealthy class of bureaucrats, and then you had the peons fighting for a salami in a butcher shop. That's what Marxism wrought in the Soviet Union. In Europe, it was not quite as extreme. You had a very small middle class, but you always had a very large class of rich people and a very large class of very poor people. And so that is where we're going because of the socialist policies of the Obama-Carter mentality. Do you blame Obama for this crash today in the stock market? You can vent on the Savage Nation. Where is Waldo? He's barbecuing. Find Waldo. He's had a cookout today at the White House. They're calling it a correction. There's panic in global markets. We haven't seen anything like this since Jimmy Carter. And yet those who did it to us are claiming they had nothing to do with it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When I said change we can believe in, I didn't say change we can believe in tomorrow. Not change we can believe in next week. We knew this was going to take time because we've got this big, messy, tough democracy. And that's a great thing about America is that there are all these contentious ideas that are out there. And we've got to make our case. And we knew that these challenges weren't made overnight and they weren't going to be solved overnight.
Why not? Papa Doc did it overnight. Mao Zedong did it through the Long March. You can do it overnight. I mean, you could rule by fiat. You've been doing so anyway. Who are you kidding? NAFTA, GATT, WTO. This didn't start with Obama. I mean, let's be clear. I would trace this back to Bush 1 and Bill Clinton. I've been on radio since 1994. I opposed NAFTA. I opposed GATT. I opposed us joining the World Trade Organization. I knew what was coming. I told the American people what would happen. I knew exactly what was going to happen, and now the chickens have come home to roost. Are you hearing anyone talk about NAFTA, GATT, and WTO, that we on the fiscally conservative side were right for the last 15 years? You haven't heard anyone say they're right. Maybe we should get out of NAFTA. What do you mean North American Free Trade Association? How is it that South American banana republics have healthier economies than we do? How is that possible? If NAFTA was so good for America, how is it that banana republics, ex-banana republics, are now relatively thriving relatively relative to us, and we're sort of a basket case? That's because we got screwed by Bill Clinton and the lobbyists who screwed Americans. Do you remember when the Chinese were shipping our manufacturing plants overseas, buying out entire factories and shipping all the pieces to China? You forgot that? I remember the early 90s. I remember them very well. We were screaming on this radio show, I was, stop them. They're destroying us. We're going to lose our ability to be a world power. No one heard us. In talk radio. Doesn't mean we were wrong. I know I was right. Bill Clinton let the Chinese go into states in the manufacturing belt of America and buy entire factories with all the tools and all the dye manufacturing and ship them to China. And they left the towns and the villages that were once America's heartland hollowed out with massive unemployment. And they said, don't worry, we'll retrain all those workers to be what? To run porno websites? What did they retrain them to become? A web manager? What else did they become? You know, once you rip the heart and soul out of a nation, it's very hard to put it back. So no, I don't blame it entirely on Obama. That would be foolish. But I blame it on the policies of the Democrats and the craven big business Republicans who put the greenback, the almighty dollar, ahead of the country itself. Today is a disaster. It has very little to do with the jobs report. Bank of New York Mellon and other banks announced astonishingly today, are you listening to this? That they're going to charge large depositors to hold cash because of the huge increase in dollar deposits prompted by fears amongst its customers. Banks are now charging you to hold your money. Have you ever heard of anything like this? They're not only not paying you interest, they're charging you to hold your cash. And the reason you're giving them the cash is you don't want to invest it. And the reason you don't want to invest it or buy anything is because Obama's anti-business policies are so apparent that you're afraid to invest and you're afraid to buy. J.P. Morgan cut its third quarter economic growth forecast by 1%. And yet the dollar soared against the basket of currencies. But you look at the markets themselves. Dow Jones down 512 points or 4.31%. S&P 500 sank 60 points or 4.78%. NASDAQ plunged 136 points or 5.08%. The major indexes are in negative territory for the year. In addition, there's something very, very worrisome. The stock market is poised today to do something it has not done in over 33 years, and it did it. It declined for nine straight sessions. The last time the Dow Jones Industrial Average did that was February 22nd, 1978, when Jimmy Peanut Carter was president. Jimmy Peanut Carter was the last president to see this kind of sustained decline. Did you hear me? And nowhere was the decline more apparent than in the two-year Treasury note. The most heavily traded maturity in the world's largest and most liquid market, its yield was down 6 basis points to a mere 0.257%. You know what that means? That means you would earn about 50 cents and $100 invested on that security over its term. I can go on and on. Why is it happening? It's happening because the barbecue chef in chief just crashed the economy. Oh, the barbecue chef in chief. Barack Hussein Obama had a heck of a barbecue at the White House today. Him and his cronies from Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, they were whistling Dixie. They were having a good time over there. They were really slapping on that sauce on the ribs. They enjoyed it today because they screwed the American people and they got away with it again. They got away with it again. Not only did they not rein in the debt, not only did they agree not to cut back on Social Security and Medicare, but they got away with raising the debt to an extent that will never, ever be able to catch up with the crisis that they put us in. Never. They got away with it because of MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. They got away with it because of the New York Times. They got away with it because of the LA Times. They got away with it because the American people don't want to believe what they actually see is happening. You know the old joke? The woman catches her husband in bed with another woman, and he looks at her and he says, "Who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes?" That's what you're like. All of you. Savage.